well, I'm on your side because there's something wrong with the system and we've got to try and fix it.
In committee.
And that's why I'm here, to try and be proactive, to try and resolve this for people. I'm fortunate enough, my wife's working, and I've got a good job, and I can maybe last a while because I've been out on the street before on other issues. But I tell you what, there is something broken in this system. And, you know, I think it can be worked through. I did finally get a hold of one lady through the workforce center, and she evidently used to have some authority where she could correct stuff if you went down to the workforce center. I come from a community as maybe one of the most diverse communities for its population in the state. They do not have public transportation. To get to a workforce center, it's 25 miles either way. A lot of these people aren't real literate in English. So there gets the other complications with this program. The lady I talked to from the workforce center told me she used to be able to correct stuff. You can't correct anything. Evidently, I don't know where the state's on this, but they don't give authority to the people in the field to correct anything. On my sheets that I get back after I apply, it's pending. I'm told anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks before anybody will look at it. Now, like I said, I'm a lucky person. I had a good job. But if you're sitting at home, you got 3 or 4 kids, you're working for minimum wage, and you want to collect these benefits that you're entitled to, and the kids are eating crackers, it's no fun. And I can appreciate people like that because they're giving. I've heard from them, and they're having problems. And it's really not fair. I work for a major corporation. We buy a lot of stuff that's not field tried. And I beg to differ with any of you representatives or senators here if you've tried the system yourself. I mean, they really push you towards using the computer. And that brings up another thing. In greater Minnesota, we don't have speed matters. If you're sitting on a dial-up, there's a whole new appreciation for speed matters, let me tell you. And like I say, the literacy, that the assumption that everybody's computer literate, is way beyond what I can comprehend, let me tell you. Because some of these questions, and the one particular question that I finally got out of one of the employees that worked down here in St. Paul, was the fact that my particular claim is pending because it was a common problem. And I asked him, do you know what the common problem is? And he said, well, I don't know if I can find it. The thing he came up with was the fact that my common problem was I put in for a vacation pay day because I'm lucky enough to get paid for my holidays. That holiday pay ended up being the same pay as my gross annual pay. I told him, I don't work for United Healthcare. I get paid hourly wages. I wish I was getting that kind of holiday pay, but I'm not. Is it something you can correct? Because it shouldn't have shifted over. My wife's a teacher. She looked at the summary of what I had when I printed it out after I put it into the computer. She said, ask particularly why you would get a gross amount back for vacation pay. Is it computers talking to computers, or is there some reality in the program? I don't know. And we can't find any answers. So I think, you know, like I say, I think I'm here to be proactive on this thing. Hopefully interject some jobs, because we're taking a lot of reliability on this computer, from what I can see in the job force centers. And if people can use public transportation or something to get there, so that they can get their claim resolved. This lady I talked to this morning at the company where I work for, she's been waiting since she got laid off in November. And she still hasn't received anything. I said, have you called anybody? And she said, no, I was thinking about calling you. Well, I'm not the person that can fix it, but I'll be the person to come down here and talk for you. Because a lot of people are reluctant to come down here and talk. I don't know why, but some people are that way. You know, but it's, I think it's something that we all have to work at, because these people did work. They're trying to receive what they can for benefits and keep their families going and keeping themselves going. So anything I can do or we can do, I know the AFL-CIO would be more than happy to make sure that these people can make their bills. And I guess with that, if you have any questions, I'd be open to it.
Members, unless you have pressing questions at this time, I'd just soon get through these first few witnesses, and then we could ask them collectively. Thank you, Mr. Nedestead.
Thank you.
If both Mr. Gentilini's want to come down, that would be fine. If you both want to come down at the same time, Tom and Joe. So, you know, these are constituents of mine who I believe were on the Trade Adjustment Act and have had any particular problems with this system. So, welcome to the committee. I don't know, Tom, if you want to start and just give your name for the tape, and then.
Yes, thank you. My name's Tom Gentilini. And
go ahead.
I like to say, as I had a lot of trouble with this system. For 2 months, I did not get a check, and I heard you spent $42 million on this system. You might as well spent it on a toaster, because it doesn't work. A lot of people I've talked to had nothing but problems. They were getting really frustrated. I have excellent credit, and it almost ruined it, because I could not almost pay my bills. And my dad had to help me and him out, give us money to support our bills and stuff at the house and everything, you know. And we're just disgusted with this. This system's got to get fixed, because all the people are having a lot of problems.
Mr. Stanley, how long have you, the last witness talked about an hour and a half to 2 hour wait. How long were your waits?
Well, I liked the old system better they had. It worked. Until they went over to this new system. As soon as they went over this new system with the computer stuff, like that other gentleman was talking about, a lot of people are computer illiterate. And I had problems with that too. Finally it was corrected. And I did get my back pay back. But now they're only going to pay me $159 a week because I had worked for 4 months, because they will not pay you during the summertime when you're off of college. Now, this is another thing. Now, when I go back to work for the summer, are they going to punish me for that, for working? They punish you for working.
Yeah.
And then you have to go to a new claim, see? And they go by 4 months of what you work, and that's what I did. I worked for 4 months, and it was $159 a week. I'm supposed to get $333 a week, not $159. And that's how it is right now. I am only getting $159 a week.
If I recall, Mr. Gentilini, you got laid off from a company that had unfair competition, a little foundry in my district that's been in the town for 3 generations that I know of. And then you went back to work because you wanted to go back to work, and because you took a job at lower pay. Now you're getting reimbursed, according to Deed, at a lower reimbursement rate because you were ambitious enough to go back to work. Is that
that's it? That's correct.
Thank you. Go ahead, Joe. Welcome to the committee and identify.
Joe Gentilini. Down. They changed the system over. I try to log in and nothing would even come on the screen. Like nothing there. Tried it for a couple more weeks, like, called down, and they said, well, we have to call the computer. Well, no kidding, you know. I can see that, you know. What's being done? Well, just try logging on again next week. Well, then you would, or whoever would have to tell them to send me a check and everything. Yeah, the old system wasn't broke. Why fix it? That's all I got to say.
Mr. Gentilini, are you the one? I can't remember. If I remember correctly, somebody got put back in and they said it was taken care of, and then you got disqualified again.
Yes.
Immediately the next
week. Yeah, they kept saying there's an issue pending or eligibility issue. Yes, that's correct.
Are you both now finally getting your unemployment checks regularly?
Not on a weekly basis, but...
Every penny you call town?
Pretty much. That's the only time we'd actually get them.
Well, for the committee's information, when the problems started coming in, Mr. Gelbman, who, by the way, we're going to get up, and this might be a new first at the Capitol, but I'm going to have my committee administrator testify, and we're going to get a check from the Department of Employment and Economic Development for all the work. Commissioner McElroy, I don't know where you are, but we're going to get a check from you for the work that my legislative help here put in. But what happened, members, is after we contacted Mr. Nelson, I think they overrode the computer system for these two gentlemen here, and they were getting paper checks. And then others also that we had helped who are on the TAA system, Tariff Adjustment Act, or whatever it stands for.
I'm receiving my money through a debit card. I think he gets a check. So they put it on the debit card for you.
Mm-hmm.
Take 5 days to get it on the system, in the card.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. Senator Thompson.
So, you guys had trouble with both the telephone and the computer.
Yes. Yes, correct.
For the first few weeks, the telephone wasn't even working. There was nothing. It was a busy signal.
And did you ever get through and then have to wait for a really long time, or did you just decide to go to the computer?
Well, I tried the telephone first, and they said you were ineligible, so I tried a computer. Same thing. I tried both of them. I figured maybe I'd get lucky.
Representative Gosner.
Mr. Chairman, why did they say you were ineligible?
They never said. They just...
Just
They never gave you a straight answer.
Yeah, I didn't give you a reason.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen. No further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yep. And to stick around, your dad is up in the audience. Dad's a good constituent of mine. And just like he helps you out, he helps me out once. He gives me money, too. Representative Mahoney, I'm sorry. If you have a question for...
I have a question for the witnesses.
Okay, go ahead.
My only question is... Is there, do you know of, or maybe your staff knows, is there a list of things that make you ineligible?
Well, I think in the case of the tariff or trade readjustment act and trade readjustment assistance, TRA and TAA, I think there's a particular problem for those people that are on a different type of unemployment insurance. And the department has acknowledged that.
It would be nice to have some kind of list of what makes people ineligible, just on
general. Representative Mahoney, I'm sure we'll be hearing from the Commissioner and Mr. Nelson on that. The next witness, Ismael Ramirez from Owatonna. And I believe we have an interpreter. So, welcome to the committee. And... I haven't had an interpreter at a committee hearing, so I'd just go ahead and start your testimony, and then you can interpret for us as you see fit.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Mi nombre es Ismael Ramirez.
My name is Ismael Ramirez.
Vengo de Owatonna, Minnesota.
I come from Owatonna,
Minnesota. De Centro Campesino.
From the Farm Center.
El problema que nosotros tenemos es sobre lo referente a los beneficios de desempleo.
The problem that we have refers to unemployment services.
Son varias personas, compañeros míos, que vienen de Texas, del Valle de Texas y de México.
It is a people workers that come from Texas Valley, and Mexico.
El problema de ellos es con el nuevo sistema de los beneficios de desempleo, tienen muchos problemas.
The problem, their problem is that with the new system, they have a lot of problems.
En la línea telefónica está correcto, está en español, pero está muy saturada. Se dura hasta más de dos horas para poder agarrar línea.
The phone line, yes, it is correct, there is the Spanish side of it, but it's too crowded. It takes over 2 hours to get someone.
Al internet, las personas no tienen acceso al internet porque pues no tienen, no saben de computación.
For internet, people don't have access to it because they don't know anything about computers.
En la oficina de desempleo no hay un enlace porque no hay oficina local.
At the unemployment office, there is not a contact because there is not a local office.
El problema es de que todas esas personas, o sea, esperan su remuneración del cheque de desempleo para poder solventar los gastos familiares.
The problem with all this is that these people are counting to get this money from unemployment to make up for the bill.
Con los cambios que se ha hecho del nuevo sistema, muchos compañeros han decidido mejor dejar de reclamar sus derechos por el desempleo, por lo complicado que es.
Because of this, because of all this problem, many co-workers have decided to not claim their benefits anymore because of all this problem.
Hay compañeros que año con año abren su desempleo, pero este año han tenido problemas por el nuevo cambio del sistema, que en vez de ser 4 dígitos, ahora son 6 dígitos. Se hablaba cada 15 días, ahora se habla por semana. El problema es el teléfono, poder agarrar línea.
There's co-workers that used to get their unemployment every year without a problem, and also a change with the new system. It used to be a 4-digit number, and now it's gone to a 6-digit number. And again, the major problem is the phone lines. It's so crowded, you cannot get line or get through.
¿Alguna pregunta?
Is there a question?
Okay, any questions for the witness?
Para el testigo.
Representative Horton.
I'm thinking, I'm just wondering what type of work, I missed your name. What type of work he does. Right. And also, Tom, if you can tell us what type of work the other guys did too.
Solo me preguntó qué tipo de trabajo es el que hace y me perdí de su nombre.
Okay, mi nombre es Ismael Ramírez.
My name is Ismael.
Mi trabajo es temporal en el Lakeside Food.
My employment is a temporary employment.
Lakeside Food.
At Lakeside Food.
En Guatona.
In Guatona.
¿Es de agricultura?
It's agriculture.
Sir, do you know what the jobs of Tom and Joe were?
Gianellini's were employed at a foundry in Virginia, Minnesota that used to do all the liners and everything for the taconite industry, but now have been displaced because of cheap products coming in from overseas, so they're on this other Trade Adjustment Act, Tariff Adjustment. So that's what they did. Mr. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the witness. He explained that it would take a long time to get through on the telephone. My question is, did you get through on the, did you or your friends get through, and if you did you get to a Spanish-speaking person?
Contestaron a alguien de telefónica y si lo hicieron, lo hicieron con alguien en español.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
But again, it was a 2-hour wait, he said, too, or was it more than that? Even?
Como una espera de 2 horas o más.
Es una espera de 2 horas, 15 minutos, 2 horas y media. O sea, se contesta la grabadora.
It is a wait a long period of 2 hours. It's 2.5 to 15, 2.5, and then you get.
Okay, Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair,
a Spanish-speaking machine.
You're getting a machine after a 2-hour wait. Do you actually get to a human being that speaks Spanish and can answer your questions?
Obtiene una máquina después de la espera, pero. ¿Cuándo es que recibe usted a una persona humana que lo pueda contestar?
Ok, marca el teléfono del desempleo a la oficina, te contesta una computadora diciéndote que gracias por tu llamada, que es muy importante, que te van a contar tu llamada conforme va gracias a su tiempo.
All right, you dial the phone and you get a machine saying thank you for calling, your call is very important to us, and that your call is going to be answered in the order received.
En ese lapso son las dos horas 45 minutos, you know?
Within that time, that's when it runs to 2:45, 2.5 to 15 minutes.
Sure.
Okay, other questions?
¿Alguna otra pregunta?
Thank you very much, Mr. Ramirez.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you stick around in case there are other questions.
I've got a speaker here.
Jimmy Kutula, I understand there's a spelling error, K-O-T-U-L-A. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Kutula. And just identify yourself for the tape again and go ahead with your testimony. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Kutula. I've been working as a construction laborer for 3 years. And every year we have layoffs, and this year has been really hard to get through on the unemployment. I was denied on pending issues, which still I was never able to figure out what the issues were. My first attempt, I tried calling in to get a hold of somebody, hold for 3 hours, a couple hours, and so I gave up that. So I went to my internet and punched in the information there and was told there's pending issues. And I waited for 6 weeks, and then without any notice or explanation, the funds were deposited in my account. But because of this, I fell behind on pretty much everything. I mean, it's tough to get by as it is, but when they deny you for no apparent reason, what do you do? And you can't get a hold of nobody.
In that entire time, Mr. Kutula, did you talk to a live person at all?
I think I did get a hold of a live person once. And what? After waiting 2 hours every time you call in, it gets pretty sickening. And even when I was contacted them through the internet, via email, still no response on what my pending issues were or what I could do to get it going faster.
Question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Kutula. Just to be clear, though, you are now receiving them, but it took about 6 weeks.
Yes.
And are you receiving now a weekly paycheck,
yes,
or has it been still stop and start for you?
I am now, after the pending issue was resolved, which was, I don't know.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Thomas Thorne.
Mr. Kutula, how quickly did you get it before we went on this new system?
I could get through to a live person fairly quickly and get my questions answered right away within 15 minutes of calling in. I mean, then sometimes they would tell you what number you are in line.
So you had no problem whatsoever with the old system?
No, no problems at all.
Senator, we have a policy in the House. If you leave your cell phone on a committee, you lose per diem for that.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
And your per diem goes to your House member.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, that wasn't my phone. I was shutting it off just in case mine did ring. It was somebody over here.
Senator Sparks, your per diem is going to Representative Bob.
Probably one of the press people.
I could have checked mine.
Yeah.
Any other questions from Mr. Kutula? Thank you very much. Okay, Greg Dubois from South St. Paul. Dubois. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Dubois, is it? Or?
Dubois, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Dubois. Welcome. Just identify yourself for the tape and then go ahead with your testimony.
Okay, my name is Greg Dubois, and thanks for having me. And
you can sit down. Go ahead.
I've been going through a lot with this for a while, and there's no way I could remember everything, and I didn't want to leave anything out, so I got it all written down here, so I thought I just read right off of this from...
Could we ask you to speak into the mic? You know, as construction workers lose our hearing.
Okay, my name is Greg DuBois. I'm a union commercial carpenter. Like I was saying, I've been going through hell with this for a while. Excuse my language.
I've never heard that before.
Anyways, I took the time and wrote everything down because I didn't want to leave anything out. Anyways, I live in South St. Paul. I work as a carpenter. I got laid off in November. It took me more than 7 weeks before I got my first unemployment check. That means Thanksgiving went by, Christmas went by, and New Year's went by, and I still didn't get a check. So you can guess how the holidays went. I'm number 112 on the out-of-work list at the Union Hall. I've been pounding the pavement, but work is hard to find this time of year. It's even harder when I've had to waste hours on the phone trying to get through to the department to get my claim taken care of. It's even harder when I didn't have any gas money to go around looking for work. We were able to squeak by because my wife is still working, but she doesn't make enough to pay for the things we've got going. And now she just got laid off Thursday from a company she's been with for 10 years. We could lose our home the way things are going. The good news is that I finally got my first unemployment check last week. The bad news is I only got my check because of staff members for this committee found out about my situation and helped me out, and thank you very much. They pay it for situations like this when you're out of work. How many other people are going through the same things that I went through? Is my wife going to have to put up with the same thing with what happened to my application? My application was a crock. I had to go 7 weeks without a check. I had to mail in an application twice. I gave them information over the phone twice to redo all the paperwork. I had already mailed earlier. Make more copies, blah, blah, blah. They gave me claim numbers that didn't work over the phone or on the computer. And even though I'm finally getting some benefits, it wasn't until this morning when they told me that they're going to start paying me all the money I should be getting. I was approved for only $245 a week, but I should be getting about $300. It turns out it was $7,000 in earnings that they didn't have on file from my first quarter of eligibility. They didn't have information from two of my employers at the end of 2006. I don't know if they wiped out the 2006 off their computer or what. Even last week, the gal who finally was able to help me out said they were waiting for confirmation on the $7,000, even though I sent them W-2s from 2006. This happened to me 3 or 4 years ago. One of the companies I worked for actually went under without paying the state anything. But once I showed my W-2, I got my full benefit right away. I don't know why it's different this time. Why it's taking so long to verify when they've got the W-2s right in front of them. Just so you know, I got my first check January 9th. I started calling for unemployment on November 19th. I didn't get through to a real person until November 28th. It was busy, busy, busy. 30, 40 times a day I was calling. And all I would get is an automated hold. I sat on hold for more than an hour trying to get through many times. There was only two ways I found to get through to a real person. One was to push 3 for a change of address, and the other is when they called me.
There's a fine for lying, by the way.
No, they did call me. The reason they called me was to redo my application over the phone. And I have her name and number at home. In fact, her name is Amber. And I almost know her number by heart, but I'm not supposed to call that number. I'm getting to that part. You should try... Wait a minute. Oh, I found to get to a real person... Oh, I'm sorry, I already read this. I wrote down the number that showed up on my caller ID. It was a direct line. The woman wasn't happy that I called her back and told me I couldn't call that number again. You should try getting through. Try calling 296-3644. I've called that number so much I know it by heart. I know they say they're hiring 50 more people, but I don't know where those people are. They're not answering the phone. On January 3rd, they were supposed to have this fixed. 3 different times I sat for more than an hour without even getting through on hold. I did get through on the phone this morning. They picked right up, but apparently you can't call for benefits on Monday or Tuesday. And I was on hold for a half an hour, and finally I hung up, waiting to talk to a representative. And using the computer, you can only use your PIN number from 6 to 6. Or the phone. I guess the computers don't work the rest of the day. I have to go down to the service center to use their computer because I don't have one at home. I think maybe they're a little above their time because a lot of people don't have computers at home yet, so the phone system is a must. Anyways, I went down to the center, the job service center. They've got about 50 computers, and they had 2 people helping the people that were on the computers, which it looked like most of them had their hands up in the air. There was 5 people waiting to get on the computers. There was 50 computers that were already full. They had already been waiting over a half hour, and they had about an hour left to wait before they could get on the computers. And, of course, then they have to wait for one of the 2 people to help them out when they do get to the computer. So that's part of my story. Like I said, it's been real frustrating. But thank you for listening, and thank you very much for helping me at least get some benefits. Now, I haven't called into the system and got a system benefit yet, but somebody did get me a check and some money in my account. I'm real curious what's going to happen tomorrow when I call, and also, now that my wife is laid off, she's got to make a claim tomorrow, and I'm real curious what's going to happen with that. I'm also real curious what's going to happen with everybody else and how many people are really going through this. I've gone on unemployment a couple of times before, and getting used to the phone system was kind of hard, but it was never like this. This is bad. Something's got to be done. People have got kids. People are starving. I know the economy is bad, but for as much as they spent on that computer, it seems to me that could probably hire some more people and create some more jobs instead of subbing everything out over to another country or something.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Dubois. Do you any questions from the committee? Stick around in case there are any, okay? Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Jim Wilson of Cottage Grove. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Wilson. When you're coming down, and just go ahead and give your name for the tape and then go right into your testimony.
Jim Wilson, Cottage Grove, Minnesota. Is that okay?
That's good.
Okay. Thanks for your time, everybody. My problem's not near as bad as the other guys. I have to start for these guys. They're really bad. I just came down here just to kind of give you a little story here, too. The weekend after Thanksgiving, I was laid off. I worked for the state of all schools, the grounds maintenance division. and we get laid off a couple months every winter because there's no work to do. So I tried calling the number, and you know, all day it was busy. So then I got on the computer, and they were fine. I punched everything in. Everything went fine. So I got my first two checks. And then the third week, it popped up. It said, your account's on hold. There's issues. And I go, what kind of issues could it be? So, and the computer won't tell you what the issue is or anything. It just says your account's on hold. So I called the number, the 296-3644, and 46 minutes and 12 seconds later, I got an answer. And that's not really bad compared to the other guys. But I finally got a whole, I talked to a lady down there, some gal down there. She's real nice, real pleasant. And I says, well, what's the problem with my account? So she went through my address and, everything that was on the computer. I go, yeah, everything's right, no changes. And she says, well, the red flag came up. And I says, well, can you tell me what the red flag is? And she said, no. And I go, well, can I bring my paperwork down there and talk to a person? And we could solve this in two minutes. Nothing's changed. And she says, well, no, there's no one to talk to. And I said, so I can't come down there and talk to any person? And she said, no, there's no one to talk to. So I says, she said, you'll have to wait for the review board to check out your account, your status. And I said, well, how long will that take? And she says, a minimum of 5 weeks, because we're really busy this time of year. So I says, so there's no one I can talk to? She said, no. So I said, okay. So I called local 132, talked to Bobby, the business agent, and he gave me Jim Geldman's number. So I talked to Jim real quick, and it was on a Friday, and he said he'd check into it. And the following Monday, funny that someone from the unemployment office called, and she asked me three questions. It took less than a minute, and my account went back. She said my account was cleared. And I said, well, why was it under issue? And she said, because I was a school system employee, and a red flag came up. And that was their only explanation. So mine's not near as bad as these other guys, but...
Well, any questions?
It was just frustrating enough to talk to a person and, not getting an answer and why, what was the problem, and...
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, could you say, I think you said a red flag came up because you were a school employee. Can you give us a little more idea of what that might mean?
Yeah, well, I guess a lot of the, some school employees during the holidays, like during the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holidays, they get laid off, but they're still getting paid their salary. You know what I mean? Well, so they're salaried employees, but they're still not working. And she was assuming, or the computer was assuming, I was still getting paid even though I wasn't working. So I shouldn't have been applying for the unemployment. That's kind of how she explained it. For example, a teacher can't collect unemployment because they're salaried. You understand what I mean?
You're talking about holiday pay?
Pardon me?
You're talking about being paid for a paid holiday?
Yeah. She for the computer probably thought I was getting paid holiday pay during the time I was getting laid off.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, you were eligible, just that the computer made the mistake.
Well, I was eligible, yeah. And the computer just threw my name out because I was a school district employee. And that's what she pretty much said. And like I said, it would have been so easy just to talk to a person that day. They would have taken, I was on the phone with it for less than a minute, And so.
Mr. Wilson, you said, is this an annual event for you to get laid off as a groundskeeper for a couple of months?
Yeah, well, we lose about 10 employees every winter. Sometimes I work, sometimes I don't. It depends on the seniority situation. So.
And so under the old system that we had to fix up, did you ever get kicked out like this?
Oh, the old system, I just get on the phone and punch in my number, and I get a letter in the mail that says you'll start getting paid the next week, and I never had a problem in the old system, never. And you know, the waiting time and everything. But
okay. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. Michelle Bremer from the Albert Lee Workforce Development Center. Welcome to the committee. And someone's coming with you? Oh, okay. Welcome to the committee. I just identify yourself and go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to testify. My name is Michelle Bremer. I am an intake specialist for Workforce Development Incorporated in Albert Lee office. Workforce Development Incorporated is a private nonprofit agency dedicated to developing and advancing the workforce by serving the needs of job seekers and employers in Southeast Minnesota. WDI delivers its services through 10 area offices, with the Albert Lee office being a partner in the Minnesota Workforce Center. Workforce Development delivers services on behalf of the state of Minnesota and local counties. In addition, WDI manages special projects for the federal government and private foundations. The Minnesota Workforce Center provides tools, resources, and services needed for job search, career planning, and training needs. Workforce centers are a collaboration of partners, including the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development and local community agencies. People seeking work, businesses seeking employees, students, and those looking for a first job or returning to the workforce will find services to meet their needs offered at no cost. Each workforce center houses a resource area with tools for customers to help use to help with their job search and career planning. With myself being an intricate part of the Albert Lee Workforce Center for many years, I've seen many changes in the job duties and employees in our local workforce center. When a customer used to come in to file for unemployment, we were able to have them talk to an actual staff person about the process, and they could complete a paper application if they had no computer skills to be able to file by internet. We had at least 4 staff members who were available to answer questions in regards to their questions and concerns. They could look up the unemployment accounts and provide the needed information to them. With the layoffs, retirements, transferring of deed staff, and changes in their job duties over the last few years, we are left without anyone who can answer questions in regard to unemployment in our local office. We have many customers that come into our workforce center every day with questions in regards to the unemployment account, and we are unable to provide superior customer service to them because we don't have the staff or the access to the unemployment accounts to answer their questions. We have many who are low-functioning and without computer skills. They don't have internet at home, and some don't even have a home phone, who are in need of help when filing for unemployment or even for requesting their unemployment benefits every week. For example, we had over 200 customers come into the Albert Lee Workforce Center during the month of November and another over 200 in the month of December that had problems and concerns on their unemployment. The majority of them were unable to get a hold of a customer service rep from the call center in a timely basis. We have some customers at risk of having their driver's license taken away due to child support payments not being made due to troubles with receiving their unemployment in a timely manner. And we also have customers at risk of their homes being taken away because they've been late in house payments for the same reason. WDI is also working with the Progress Casting Dislocated Worker Project, which is a company that closed in Albert Lee. The dislocated workers qualified for unemployment and also the trade adjustment assistance support. We have 48 currently enrolled, and everyone has had a problem switching from unemployment over to the TRA extension. And WDI counselors are now spending a great deal of time dealing with the UI TRA questions every day. Once again, I'd like to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to talk.
Questions? And I guess I've got a question because I heard from my Workforce Development Center people too, and are you doing the work basically of the deed?
What?
Are you doing the work of what deed employees used to do, Department of Employment and Economic Development employees used to do in your workforce center? Identify yourself. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Hawes. I am the area manager for Workforce Development Incorporated in the Austin and Albert Lee area. And yes, our staff are assisting individuals who apply for unemployment at our workforce centers. If that was your question.
And I guess, I mean, the equivalent of you and up on the range, I guess, Michelle, her name happens to be Michelle, too, is telling me that they're answering the phone out in front, that they're fielding questions on unemployment, insurance, and, I mean, and there was a small stipend for reimbursement. I know up there they got $2,300 or something. And it's probably a question for the commissioner, but when did you become state employees that you got to do state employees' work?
Well, we're not state employees, Mr. Chairman, as far as I know. We're Workforce Development Incorporated is a nonprofit organization. We're a partner in the workforce centers in both Austin and Albert Lea.
And are you getting compensation for doing this extra work?
I'm not familiar with the financial arrangements or what compensation that we may or may not be getting. I'm sorry.
Okay. Representative Mahoney.
I'll try to get to the microphone here. To the witnesses, you said that you were handling over 200 claims. Could you give the committee either an exact number or your best guess as to how many hours it took you to handle those 200 claims? Was it 200 hours or 2,000 hours per month? Any idea on that?
Well, we have not kept track of the exact hours that we spent, but in November we had 203 individuals come in to the Albert Lea Workforce Center with problems. And in December, we had 265 individuals come into the workforce center just in Albert Lea. Some people, you know, they don't take a great deal of time.
Oh, wow!
Thank you.
Yes.
Some individuals do not take a great deal of time. They just, you know, they're not familiar with computers at all. They've never had one. They've never sat down in front of one. So we need to assist them, and their claim goes fairly quickly, and there isn't a problem. Other people, they can take up to, you know, 2 hours for each individual, and then even at that, you know, they're not completely finished. They have to come back the next day, or there are questions that we then need to go to the phone because, you know, they're told they're not eligible, but there's really no explanation of. And that's not the fault of, you know, the call center. It's just, you know, the way the system is set up.
Mr. Hauser, Ms. Bremer, before the implementation of the system in mid-October, how many people did you have to help a month get through unemployment insurance? Or get their unemployment insurance? Or do you know that?
We could look that up for you, Mr. Chairman. We didn't, you know, there weren't, prior to the new system coming in, there weren't that many problems. So, you know, we certainly helped a large number of people, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a huge problem, and it wasn't anything that we kept track of. But I could get you those numbers if you're interested, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I was just wondering if it was a 10-fold increase or a 100-fold increase or whatever, but that's fine. Representative Clark and then Ruth. Representative Ruth.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. My question was similar to yours. I was just wondering if you mentioned rather high numbers for November and December of 2007. I wondered if that was consistent with prior years, or if this year was up or down, or how it related.
Well, Representative Ruth, we just started keeping track of the numbers of individuals coming into workforce centers, I believe, last April. So we haven't really had a full year of actually keeping track of numbers prior to that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Is that when the new system went in? Last April?
No, it went in.
No, it went in October.
October of this year.
And we just there's a customer registration system that DEED, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, instituted back last April that you know we're participating in as part of the Workforce Center system, and that's happening in all Workforce Centers as far as I know.
So did you ever have any of these numbers, since you've been keeping track of calls or people asking for help?
Well, we haven't had. We certainly have not had as many. No.
Okay.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the witness. I'm just doing some kind of calculations in my head, and that always tends to get me in trouble. But see if I'm kind of right here. So you have 203 in 1 month and 260 plus in another month. Some take a few minutes, some take a couple hours or more. Safe to say it's on average somewhere around an hour. You're investing 200 hours a month or somewhere in that neck of the woods. It's a full employee every month spent on unemployment issues.
Am I correct or close?
That's probably correct, yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Hartman.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Got a Hartman and an Hartman.
Yeah,
philosophically, too. Go ahead.
My question is, did you receive notices and communications from the Department of Economic Development as they were developing this implementation and about status as we were coming along through the project? I personally didn't have a problem. Mr. Chair, you're the regional manager. Do you know of any communications or notices from the department about this?
We have received. I mean, we received notice that this was going to happen as part of the whole Workforce Center system. I am considered the site manager for the workforce centers in our areas, and I did receive notification that the system was going to be coming online and that there were going to be changes, and they did indicate to us that it is a new system and that they would have to be working, you know, there would be problems that they had to work through as there would be with any new system coming online. So we were aware of that. And they are continuing to upgrade the system. They do communicate with us and let us know that, okay, this has been a problem, so this is being updated, and, you know, on and on.
Thank you, sir.
Other questions? Thank you very much, both of you. Dick Enfang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Enfang, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Rukavina and Thomas Mooney, members of the committee. My name is Dick Anfang. I have the privilege of being the president of the Minnesota State Building and Construction Trades Council, about 50,000 members working in the construction industry in the state of Minnesota. And this hearing started about 3:30, and since 3:30 I have developed a new appreciation for my job. I'm very happy to have a job. I'm happy I don't have to call down there and call and try and collect an appointment. It really makes you think about what you do have when you have a good job. As you can imagine, in the construction industry, the economy is down. We've got a lot of unemployment, much higher than the state's average across the board. Consequently, our offices have been getting lots of calls. And my office is getting lots of calls. And thank goodness, this is not a problem that is mine in terms of what I usually get asked to fix is something that's within my realm. This is not. But previous speakers today and calls that I've gotten tell me that it is real. It's really a problem. And it needs to get better. What happened before today is one thing. What's going to happen tomorrow and into the future is really what I'm concerned about, and I'm waiting To hear from Commissioner McElroy, who our office deals with on many other issues and to continue to do so, I hope that we're going to hear that it's going to get fixed. It's going to get fixed fast, and our folks will get the benefits that are due them on a timely basis. I would like to say, though, that this is kind of a little bit off the subject and going the other way, but I think a lot of this could be solved by tax bills getting passed and signed into law, transportation bills getting signed into law, bridges that are broken are being fixed. To me, it should be about putting people to work, not figuring out how they can collect unemployment benefits. And I think there's some other folks that I'd like to hear from about how that's going to happen and how soon. In the construction industry, it's all about money being spent to improve the environment, build buildings, build roads, fix roads, and improve infrastructure. And that's some ways that we can eliminate this problem from ever occurring. That's all.
Any questions, Mr. Anfang? Thank you for coming. Mary Morrow from the Mid-Minnesota Legal Assistance. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Morrow. Just identify yourself and go right into your testimony.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Mary Morrow, and I am an attorney with the Legal Aid Society of Minneapolis, and I represent individuals in unemployment appeals. I've been doing this for a little over 2 years now, and so I'm very familiar with the system prior to the changes in October and what's been happening since October. It was quite striking to me in mid-October, the number of calls I got right after the system was changed, and every case I had was the main focus was the system change and things just not being administered properly and just confusion because it was unlike anything we had ever seen before. So I was really pleased when I heard these hearings were scheduled because it's something that I've been spending a lot of my time on as well. And I just want to emphasize how important unemployment benefits are for my clients. The clients that we serve are low-income individuals. Eligibility for my services is based on a federal poverty guideline, and a lot of my clients work for minimum wage. They work for temporary agencies. They're on the edge in a good week. And then when they're faced with unemployment issues and then delays in being able to access their unemployment benefits to which they're entitled, it makes a bad situation worse. And I'm seeing my clients in crisis. I'm seeing clients that are losing their houses. They're having to look into shelters that are, one individual talked about over the holidays. I mean, it couldn't be a worse time for these problems to be hitting anyone, and especially my clients. And I just want to emphasize how important it is to have a resolution of these issues as soon as possible. When I was thinking about the problems that I've seen in the past few months, there were kind of two different categories that came to my mind, and so I'd like to address those. I also want to point out that I did prepare some written comments, and it's on this kind of pan piece of paper. Due to time constraints, I know I won't be able to address all of the issues that I've seen, but I would encourage anyone who has questions to feel free to contact me after these hearings, or if you have questions now, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have in an effort to hopefully resolve issues. The two main areas that I've been struggling with are seeing problems with access to the system and also some significant problems with the appeals process, which not many people have mentioned this afternoon. I want to reiterate that the problems with access I have seen as well with my clients, and also personally, I have to say I haven't had to stay on hold for 3 hours. I thought 45 minutes to an hour was unacceptable, so I can't imagine how hard that has been for people. But I will say that I have clients, like many of the other people who have testified, who have come into my office because they don't have a landline, they rely on a cell phone, they have limited minutes, and they're unemployed, and their unemployment benefits have gotten hung up in this system chain somewhere. And so they're coming to my office so that we can call to try to get an answer. And there's one client in particular I can think of. She came into my office. We were on hold for 45, 50 minutes. We finally got to someone, and then we got disconnected. And that just puts you back right at the very beginning because there's just no other way to navigate through that system. There's that one number that I haven't memorized, but that's where you start to try to get to the customer service department. Since I am developing a relationship with some of the supervisors in customer service, which, I mean, people have tried to help, but they are coming up against the system as well, and it's just not working. I do think that one of the problems with this system is the assumption that people do have access to some just basic resources, whether it be a landline or access to a computer, and I can tell you that my clients don't have those resources. The other area that I would like to emphasize is just how many problems I've been seeing in the appeals process. And people get to my office when they have they've already gone through the application process. So they've either been denied or granted unemployment benefits, and there is an appeal pending. And the majority of the clients that I'm referencing today were initially granted unemployment benefits, but then the employer appealed, and then something got hung up because of that appeal. And some things that are of great concern to me is that for an appeal, there should be some notice. There should be... Before, we would get notice of a hearing a good week to 10 days before the hearing was scheduled. Now, I had a client that came into my office and she said that she received something in the mail that there was an appeal pending. Her employer had appealed, but she didn't understand it. She wasn't able to get through. Her cell phone had been cut off. So we called to try to find out what was going on with this appeal hearing and found out, oh, the appeal hearing was scheduled the next morning. Well, lucky she came in when she did, because she had no notice of it. She hadn't received any of the documents that her employer had submitted appealing her benefits. And we were able to work through with that. But I'm continuing to see those problems now where people are not getting notice of appeal hearings. And these are just the people that make it into my office. The majority of unemployment recipients are not represented and they don't have people who are helping them through the system. And I'm concerned about what's happening with those people. Are people just missing their appeal hearings and then they're just being denied for for no reason? It is of great concern. And it just seems that the system is just not able to handle the paperwork, the documents. I've had ongoing problems faxing things in, and it's just like I'm faxing it into a black hole, where before I could fax something in and I could know that I could call in 2 or 3 hours and I could talk to someone, I could get answers, and we could get to the bottom of whatever the issue was. I could get the information I needed, and that's just not the case now. So I don't know if you... I have numerous examples, but I wanted to keep it as short as possible. But I do really want to emphasize that the appeal system also is experiencing significant problems, and it is affecting people's benefits and their ability to get on with their lives and find employment, which ultimately is what they want.
Thank you, Ms. Morrow, very much. Representative Gunther, you had a question?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all the work you do. Just to ask you, where are you from? Are you Mid-America? Where is that?
Are you referring to my...
Where do you work at?
Oh, where I work out of downtown Minneapolis.
Downtown.
Yes. I serve people in Hennepin County, but my Mid-Minnesota Legal Assistance has offices in St. Cloud and Wilmer as well.
Do you have a lot of people that work for minimum wage?
Oh, my clients, yes.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have a number to how many clients you've had to help in this particular situation, you know, with their unemployment? And if you do, do your other offices, are they seeing the same problem, and do they have a number?
I actually did a search to try to come up with some numbers, and I think that in starting from November till currently, it was maybe in the 30s in my office, 30-plus clients that I've seen. And I did, this before coming today, I sent out some emails and asking for other input from attorneys in outstate offices, and I did hear back from other attorneys in St. Cloud specifically who are having some of these same problems, you know, specifically with the hearings, you know, finding out the day before that there was a hearing and then actually waiting for the call and then the call not happening and then finding out, oh, it had been rescheduled but no one had gotten notice, and it's just a lot of confusion.
So. The other question,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Senator Sonnenfeld.
Ms. Morrow, one of your bullet points says staff unable to answer questions or access information. Was it your opinion that the staff was not willing to answer your questions, or was it a matter of them not being educated in the question that was asked, or what was the situation that was going on as far as you could tell?
I have to say that I feel like the staff have been trying really hard, and I'm on a first name basis with a number of people. I recognize voices. They know me. I've called so many times, and they're trying really hard, and I just feel like they're pulling their hair out because they don't know what to do. And one of the things that I've seen, because I've had to call a number of different departments, is that depending on which department you're in, you have access to different information. So I can call a person in the appeals department and get one answer about a case, and then but it's not adding up. And so then I'll call someone in customer service and get transferred and talk to someone in customer service, and I'll get a different set of information. I'll be transferred to a supervisor and then get yet another story. And so I feel like people, and they told me that they can't see information, that people are restricted to certain information, and so it really just creates that many more phone calls to try to get to the bottom of something because people just don't know.
And Mr. Chairman, Ms. Morrow, and this wasn't happening before the new system.
No, I haven't seen any of these kinds of problems before.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Morrow. The next witness, Mr. Bobby Casper. Labor is Local 132. Hi, John. Welcome to the committee.
Hey, Tom. It's a little stuffy here today. It's a shame that the holidays had to go and a lot of our people are out of work. I'm a business rep with the Laborers Union and a proud union member. We had a Christmas party at our union hall, and one of our members' wives came in. She came in crying. And I first thought she was, you know, she was happy about the Christmas party. No, she was crying because she's worried they're going to lose their house, and they couldn't pay their utility bills. And their husband's been waiting 7 weeks to get his unemployment check, and he couldn't get through on the phone. And then the next day we got phone calls on the Monday, following Monday, phone call after phone call after phone call. Members being misclassified. We had one member come up. He works for the schools. He's one of our members. He thought he was in the teachers' union. You know, this is not a slam on the employees. Not one bit. It's a slam on the structure and what happened. Everybody uses the excuse, it's the computers, it's the phones, it's understaffed. They don't have enough people there. People can't get through on the phone. They've been waiting 2-3 hours. We had a membership Christmas party. Not for Santa Claus. This was our members. 75 people signed a petition saying they had problems. Okay? It was 100 people, that's maybe 120 people, Tommy, at the meeting. And 120 people, 75 people had problems. Again, it's not a slam on the employees. Misclassified. They're on the phone, they make a mistake, they have to wait 45 minutes. So I called State Rep Tom Rukavina. I know Senator Tomasoni real well, too. And he said, I could probably help you. I called him on the carpet. Jim, you're a saint. Jim Gelman helped us immensely. My Christmas went a little bit better. The phone was stopped ringing off the hook, but we got phone call after phone call. The Tribune called me. I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody in this room. Okay? But let's just get this thing fixed. Put some more people. Staff these things. Get people that can answer the phone. You ever get on the phone and talk to a computer? Trying to get into your bank account? How frustrating it is? Or try to pay a bill, a utility bill? And you're waiting push 7, push 5, push 8, push... And you can't get through? Well, imagine you can't pay your bills. Utility bills. They're going to shut off your electric. Can't pay your car. Can't pay your mortgage. It's bad enough that our union members, like President Dick Enfin said, out of work. We have bridges falling down. Highways falling apart. They're vetoing every bill we put out. We want to put people to work. This is a quality of life state. Somebody asked the question, where are you from or where are you working? I'm from New York, the state of New York. I moved here 16 years ago. I was amazed how beautiful this state is. The highways, how beautiful they were. How the structure ran itself, how everybody got along, Republican, Democrat. It didn't matter. But I'll tell you something right now. We're in trouble. We can't get anything done here. I mean, and then to put salt in the wound, we have people laid off that can't even get their unemployment. I mean, I thank you for having this hearing today. I know you heard enough of the complaints. You know, we can point fingers. And I was even asked when I walked in by Dan McElroy. He asked me. I said, it's not the employees at all. Not to one set. When they got on the phone, they applied as people. They're overworked and understaffed. You know, when we build buildings, we don't understaff the building when we're going to build it. We put a structure up. We're going to put less people on to build the building. How about the bridge we're putting up right now? Maybe we should understaff that and let computers build the building. I mean, there's so much you can do with computers, and listen, change is good. Believe me, maybe one day we'll get used to being on the internet, and a lot of our members can. But right now, people are hurting, and let's pay these people. I mean, there's programs out there. Unemployment is supposed to be helping these people.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Casper. And I know the pressures have filtered their way all the way down to you and your members. Questions for Mr. Casper? Thank you very much. With that, members, we'll have Commissioner McElroy and Mr. Lee Nelson from the UI division come up to the table and tell us what's going on and how it's going to get fixed. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Representative Roccavina, Senator Tomasoni, and members. Before I begin a presentation, I would like to thank those who came and shared their experiences. I want to apologize for the inconvenience that you had. We know how inconvenient it has been. I'll explain why we think changing systems was the right thing to do, but we know it's been stressful, and thank you for taking the time to come down and share the specifics. I also want to thank the wonderful employees at Deed who work so hard and who do care so much. We do have some customer service people here. If those in the audience who may still have challenges, or the gentleman whose wife had just gotten laid off, if I could have Keith Goodwin raise his hand, or I think April's here, or we have a couple of customer service people, we'd be happy to take names and phone numbers, make sure we get you taken care of just as quickly as we can. But my, I do have a prepared handout, and we have some copies for people. I'm not going to go through everything.
Representative Mahoney, hold on just a second. I'm going to throw it at you now. Hold on a second.
They're hearing to get their unemployment. To get a call answered, they should not have to come to a committee hearing.
I couldn't agree more.
And you bring people here and say, oh, by the way, if you're having problems, I brought people with me. Oh, unbelievable.
Okay. Go ahead. I know it's a very emotional issue.
You do, and for us too. But let's kind of back up. What is it that we set out to do? Why has it been challenging? And what are we doing to fix it? You know, unemployment has been around since 1936. I'm not going to go through the handout in detail, so I do want to get to your question. But I think the bottom line is, first of all, it is a big system. In 2007, about 182,000 Minnesotans were paid benefits, up from 175,000 the year before. We paid out last year $720 million in benefits, up from about $686 million the year before. The benefits come from taxes paid by employers after benefits are collected. The average benefit is $320 a week, and the average Minnesotan who claims for about 15 weeks. One of the challenges is that the system is enormously complex, and not because we set out to make it that way, but because the law is complicated, and we have to follow both state and federal law. The statute is voluminous, and it has a lot of Representative Mahoney asked, what are the criteria for not being eligible? And it's a very long list, unfortunately. In every case, if it's many cases are clearly laid off for lack of work and available to work, and people are paid fairly automatically.
But during 2006, about 59,000 written determinations regarding separation, and that's quit or fired, generally if people are laid off, no determination is necessary. And about 63,000 written determinations were made as to ongoing eligibility. And those aren't done by the computer. Those are done by people trained in the law who have to do every one individually. And the following on page 4 is a list of reasons or a list of criteria that have to be followed. Some of the concerns we heard are made worse by the fact that it is so hard to get through to us, or had been so hard to get through to us. But some of the concerns are about a fairly complex law. In 2001, at the request of the department, the legislature passed the law deciding to upgrade the system to to a newer system. And I'll explain why the Federal Department of Labor has been encouraging states to do this. The statement, or the system that we replaced, was 35 years old. It was first launched in 1972 with a module that we got from the state of Mississippi. We call it a system, but it was really five pieces of systems that were somewhat freestanding. Some of them required separate data entry to get information into each of the five modules. All of them were written in a computer language called COBOL, Common Business-Oriented Language. That is terribly out of date. It was developed in 1959. It was been upgraded many times, but the version that these systems were written on is long obsolete. Very difficult to hire people who can maintain it. And the system is extremely unflexible. Things that the legislature wanted to change, like the alternative benefit period and a variety of other things, simply couldn't be supported by the old system. So the legislature made the decision to implement a new system, and we began about the same time a number of other states did. And on page 5, you'll see that a number of states have already said, and we couldn't do it. Colorado sued their vendor and walked away from it. Wisconsin essentially gave up. Pennsylvania just let a contract at more than better than twice what we've invested. So this isn't simple stuff. But it's important, and we are determined to get it right, and we can tell you what we're doing to make it right. Let me go through kind of what has happened so far. I think the most important thing starts on page 7. We launched the first phase of this new system in June of 2005, which was the tax side of the system. That replaced the 1972 module. And it didn't go without difficulty, but it wasn't as much of a challenge as this one, because not as many people needed to get a hold of us. Employers, the reason for doing it was to make benefits more accurate and tax collections more accurate, and to move staff from having to manually key data enter employment information to getting a system where more staff can be involved in helping people and less staff in key punching data. The result has been that about 99% of wage detail is now submitted in automated fashion. About 90% of taxes are paid online. And we have much more timely wage detail reports. It used to be that we were fortunate to get wage detail into the system within 90 days. We now have detail within 30 days, almost 100% of the time. And that's one of the things that's enabled the alternative benefit period that I want to talk about in a minute. Phase 2 has not gone as smoothly, and for a variety of reasons. And people have asked, why did you launch it? And one of the reasons is that the law was changed, again at our request, to make some changes, effective October 1st of 2007, that required the new system to implement. And we consider them to be significant improvements, but it took a new system to do them. These included being able to pay benefits weekly instead of biweekly, to create an automatic alternate base period. This gets a little complicated, but under the old law, people qualified for unemployment based on the first 4 of the last 5 completed quarters. The reason for that is we didn't have wage detail benefits fast enough to do it for the 5th quarter, for the most recent quarter. The AFL-CIO and others had a campaign, worked with us and with you, felt that the alternative base period was really important, and we agree with them, but it took a new system to implement that. We also wanted to change the deductibility of part-time earnings and eliminate the disincentive to work part-time. It took a new system to do that. and we wanted to improve the appeal system so that things didn't have to be manually data entered into a separate system that could be integrated with our current system. As we heard from Mary, that's not working as well as we want it to. We talked about what we're doing to try and make that better. The outcome, and you know, we implemented this on October 15th, and we'll give you some statistics as to what we've paid. Some good things have happened. We are paying those people weekly, which we think is a better level of service.
Bi-monthly for most of these people today.
Well, we'll give you some numbers. There certainly are people who haven't been paid time. But a lot of people
come in.
And I'll give you some numbers, Mr. Chairman, in writing. Any number of people is too many. I agree with that. But we will pay this week, I think, 83,000 weeks or 83,000 people, and it will be, the timeliness continues to get a little better. Let me get to what we're doing to make it better in just a moment. One of the interesting elements, we've always had a federal requirement that we had to verify Social Security numbers and that we had to verify that the Social Security number matched the first and last name and the date of birth. It had been done in a very cumbersome batch process after the fact. And if the Social Security number didn't match, it held up people's benefits and required a lot of manual effort by people down the road. It's now done automatically, and we're finding it to be a great convenience to customers. There are occasional mistakes with key punch entries. There may even occasionally be some fraud, not often. But doing it in real time is a higher level of service to our customers. On page 10, the concern has been that we're trying to push people to the computer. And a lot of our customers have told us they like the computer, but we're now getting about 65 to 68% of applications online, about 32% over the phone, and about 1% on paper. If there are people who prefer, and I would encourage those who would prefer to use paper, you can do that. You can mail it in or fax it from a workforce office. It does require manual entry. It isn't the most efficient, but if that's what a customer wants, we will deal with it. And we want to deal with people as they want to be dealt with. We understand that not everyone in it has access to the computer. And one of the goals is to improve the quality of service that we can provide over the telephone. The table on page 11, I think, will give you some indication of the seasonality of unemployment and the fact that a lot of people are successfully being paid. Not enough, but a lot of people are. You'll see that in prior to the implementation of the system, we had been had weeks requested and paid of about 36,000 a week. That has slowly been increasing. And in the week of January 7th, we paid 85,100 people, $23.8 million. And we will continue, the kind of the seasonality of the system is that the busiest week of the year, generally the first full week in January, we expected to have 11,000 new accounts last week, and we had 11,800 new accounts last week. The system is at its low point in early October. We had about 45,000 people on benefit, 44,000 people on benefit. We will likely peak at the end of January, early February, at about 90,000, perhaps in the low 90,000. And then it continues to get relatively high through February and go down in March and April. The customer service challenges are some of them the challenges of working out a new system, and some of them that the move to weekly benefits caused people to have to call us more frequently to request benefits. We also, as you will recall, had a blizzard or significant snowstorm across virtually the entire state on the 1st of December. It caused a fairly dramatic jump in benefits all at one time. It's more traditional to have weather get cold from north to south and the ramp up in seasonal unemployment occur over a few weeks. It occurred over a day or two this year. We also added some new questions in order to cope with things like the alternative benefit period and with the trying to be more accurate in the payment of benefits. And the new questions certainly caused some confusion for our employees and for customers. We certainly had some problems in the code, although not dramatically. to give you some idea of how massive this system is, we're told by the Office of Enterprise Technology and others that this is, in terms of the amount of sheer computer code, the largest system that's ever been implemented in Minnesota. The planning document for it covers loose-leaf notebooks that, when piled across the table, are 5 feet wide. And the code for the system is 1.2 million lines, or about 5,500-page volumes. So it's a very significant undertaking. It is. We have had several what are called builds or updates of the software since it was launched on the 15th of October. And it is running substantially better than it had been, and it continues to get better almost every week. So some programming errors did cause problems for our customers. We're doing a lot of things to make this system better, and I believe it's gotten somewhat better and will continue to get better. We've increased the number of telephone lines, and these are a trunk line that are relatively, it's somewhat cumbersome to get, but we've gotten more. And we have gone from 322 to 368 phone lines. That has helped some, not enough. We've hired 32 additional customer service representatives in addition to the 87 staff that we had prior to that. Those people started to work on January 2nd. The first of them went on phones today. They will all be on phones by the end of this week. The system is divided so that they'll be able to take the calls that require that can be done by those with the least amount of training, and we are excited about having them on board. As part of the system, we trained and promoted 21 clerical staff who used to do data entry to help with customer service and customer-related activities. We've also reassigned 40 people from other duties, at least temporarily, to assist with customer service. Some of these are newly hired unemployment law judges or auditors that are assisting with decision-making. You'll sometimes hear us use kind of the jargon adjudication. That means decision-making. The new system makes adjudicating significantly more efficient and faster because the information can all be seen. But it does require employers to respond, for example, or on occasion, customers to provide information. So when a decision has to be made, it can take some time. But we adjudicated or made decisions on 1,400 applications last Friday. We believe we can make decisions on 7,000 to 8,000 applications a week. That's up from a maximum capacity in the old system in the range of 3,000 to 4,000. And we think the quality of the decisions is very good. It has taken some time to get the new system working to that speed. We've also moved 27 people into the workforce centers to assist workforce center personnel and our customers in navigating the system. Those are people who are normally involved in our reemployment program, helping people who may be in danger of exhausting their benefits. We probably can't keep them in doing what they're doing permanently, but we want to keep them through the busy season for as long as we can. We completed our 2007 obligations to the Department of Labor. We don't yet have a 2008 goal for reemployment, so we'll use reemployment people in the workforce centers as long as we can. I've been out visiting workforce centers, and the reemployment staff are starting to make a difference in helping with the challenges that you heard described, and we fully acknowledge. We've increased the training for workforce center staff, and we want to thank our partners. They have been patients. They do get, as Representative Rook Medina heard in northeastern Minnesota, they do get some money, but not very much, that's directly for unemployment insurance. They get significant funds for other programs, but we know this is a stressor for our workforce center partners. We've also been working a significant amount of overtime. We have had 40 to 50 people voluntarily working overtime, principally on Sundays, to help with decision-making and other customer service functions to help reduce the backlog. We've automated the account renewal process for applicants using the telephone system, and this is a major improvement. Accounts after they've been active for a year have to be renewed. It was a somewhat cumbersome process to do that. It's now automatic, and that's reducing the telephone backlog. We think we've improved the telephone application process where separation from employment was an issue and streamlined that. We will continue to work on that. The reason customer service declined was we had anticipated and been prepared for kind of average talk times in the range of 4 minutes. The talk times were running 8, 9, and 10 minutes. That reduces effectively your capacity by 50%. as we have improved the system and the processes, talk times, the time it takes to give service has been reduced, and so capacity continues to increase. And one problem with the system is it gives me average hold times, and averages aren't very helpful, and so we're trying to change the program so I can get min, max, and average, or 80th percentile. But we certainly had some times, and I will tell people who need to get through to us that Mondays are far and away the most difficult. People tend to get laid off at the end of the week. They tend to open new accounts on Mondays. So the hold times have been longest on Mondays. They are not very good on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. They get significantly better on Thursdays and Fridays. But we had had average hold times that approached an hour. Average hold times last Friday were 14 minutes. Average hold times, I do not have a hold times for today yet, but average hold times on Mondays were still bad, but getting better. I think last Monday they were 40 minutes. We will continue, we believe that with 32 new people on the phones, they will get better, and with continuing to catch up on the decision-making backlog, they will continue to get better. They also get better with the 27 people that are now in the workforce centers helping kind of in the front line. The people shouldn't have to go to the workforce centers. The goal, there are very few problems we've heard about today, but being able to get through to us on a timely manner on the customer service lines wouldn't help, and we're committed to solve that problem. One, I mentioned the alternative base period, and this is a really big issue. It was an idea brought to us, I think, 3 years ago. It couldn't be implemented until we had the new system. We anticipated that 2,500 to perhaps 4,000 applicants a year would qualify for unemployment under this system. In the first 10 weeks, almost 2,500 have qualified. So we think that number, that we underestimated how many people would be benefited by having wage detail available faster. We also are encouraged by the ability to have benefits that we think are substantially more accurate. The Federal Department of Labor estimates that about $3 billion a year nationally, or about $70 million a year in Minnesota, are paid inaccurately. And that can result in overpayments charged to a customer's account that we end up, that we're required by federal law to either deduct from future unemployment or that are subject to revenue recapture. So accurate benefits are incredibly valuable to our customers, and we think we're starting to get there. But we're not satisfied with the customer service times. We're committed to get them dramatically shorter than they are today. The kind of the last issue is that we've changed the language that seems confusing to applicants about things like seeking work or available to work. And that seems to have been helpful. We've also opened online service on Sundays during busy season. We have not opened the telephone service on Sunday. We're required by law, and I think by common sense, when the phone service is open, to have our employees available to answer questions. We haven't wanted to mandate overtime. We've been using the Sunday overtime that's voluntary to catch up on adjudication. We've also communicated with customers by mail on three occasions. We sent 78,000 letters out about holiday hours. We will continue to communicate by mail. When necessary, we have issued off-system checks when data conversion unduly delayed payments. That's happened about 100 times. We've also manually entered data for TRA and TAA, Trade Adjustment Act and Trade Readjustment Act. And we think that those systems are now working reasonably well in the automated system. They were entirely manual in the old system also. And so the new system is better. It's still a fairly complicated system. We've also are continuing to have what the computer people call builds that improve the system on a regular basis, and are committed to do that, and committed to have customer hold times that are dramatically less than they are today. Mr. Nelson, did I forget anything of major importance? All right. With that, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Chairman, we'd be happy to take your questions or suggestions.
Representative Hartman, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a few questions. Was this computer system funded in the OEP budget or the DEED budget?
Mr. Chairman, it was funded by a surcharge on employers that was authorized in 2001. About $25 million of the cost was paid for from that technology upgrade charge. It's essentially part of the unemployment tax. And about $20 million, the balance of the kind of direct cost, through federal funds, principally grants from the Department of Labor. But it all came through the DEED budget. And we did get assistance with the mainframe technology and connectivity and other issues from the Office of Enterprise Technology.
Can I just follow up on that? When was the bid put out for the contract to put this new computer system into place, and how many contractors bid on it, and were any of them able to demonstrate a working system in a different state?
Bids went out, I believe, in 2003. Let me just, since Lena has the information, perhaps he can help. The bidders were able to demonstrate other types of systems, but no other state had updated an unemployment system anywhere in the country.
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Nelson, how many bids did we have?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I believe there were five. There were a number of, we put out the request for proposal, and I believe there were five who actually filed formal bids. We had more than that vendors who looked into it and that we spoke with and met with, but I believe five.
You know, did we award this to the lowest bidder then? Or were there other bases under which the determination was made of who would get this contract?
Mr. Nelson, just for the record, say your name this time before you start talking.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I am Lee Nelson. I represent the Unemployment Insurance Program. Mr. Chairman, Representative, we did not choose the lowest bidder. The lowest bidder was a company from India, and we chose not to offshore the bid. We went with Bearing Point because they had demonstrated success in Kentucky and in Montana prior to it, but Minnesota was the first state to undergo a full, complete system redo. Most states took on simply maybe the tax portion or the benefits portion, but Minnesota, because as the commissioner indicated, we had essentially five separate systems. We wanted one system fully integrated as opposed to simply building on some system which was already outdated. We wanted one full complete system. Minnesota is the first state in the nation to implement a fully integrated system.
And my last follow-up is the contractor providing additional assistance to try to resolve these problems, and if so, are they doing so at additional cost to the state?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wortman, there is a guarantee that's included through, I believe it's June 30th of next year. Contractor has significant personnel on site in St. Paul working to assist us with the fine-tuning and making the system work satisfactorily.
What cost extra right now?
We may choose to do some additional work beyond the specifications, but within the specs that we agreed to, no, that was included in the price.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe I missed it. What year was the old system put into place? What's the version of the date on that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it was put in several years, the oldest in 1972, the most recent in 1982. All of them in a version of COBOL that we were concerned would become unmaintainable.
Representative Norton, and then Slocum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, as a comment, I really appreciate the effort that you're trying to make call time shorter. Frankly, 5 minutes. That's it. People should not have to wait, particularly, and I do know this from home too, many of our low-income families do use pay cell phones, and if that's all they have to communicate, they can use their entire month's worth of cell phones waiting. So I would encourage you to look for a 5-minute wait for a phone call, and I don't know what it's going to take you to get there, but please try. You mentioned that back in 75, I think you said you put the front end of the new system in place, I guess, that dealt with the tax end of it. And we received some written testimony, and I guess I was disturbed by some of this and wondered if you could address how you're collecting on that delinquent unemployment taxes part, because it looks like maybe you don't have a process in place for that. So I just wondered if you could clarify that for me.
I'd like to call on Mr. Nelson to help with that.
Mr. Nelson.
Chairman, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gordon. First of all, I read that letter, and my comment is about the case. We made a conscious decision to use the Department of Revenue collection enterprise to collect unemployment insurance taxes. We felt we were not in the collections business. We send virtually all our past due work to the Department of Revenue. I can go through a long litany of why that was chosen to be done. They are in a much better position, quite frankly, to do it. They have a call center up in Ely, which does very well. And so simply that we ship past due taxes to them all the time, and they are collecting for us, and we think doing a very good job. If you look at actually what is collected after the initial notice to an employer, 50% of all past due taxes are paid after a first notice. And then you get down to how cost effective does it become to do many things, and one of the things suggested here was to put liens on. Well, that's not particularly very cost effective, and I would certainly like to meet with you, and I can discuss that fully as to how much we receive, which is after the past due date. I can go through all of that, but you'll find it's much better currently than it was previously.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Nelson, do you, I think one of the issues with your employees that sent us some of this information, and I might add, I think, I don't know, did everyone get copies of these? It seems like there's a fear factor within your department that everybody's afraid to talk to us, and everybody's sending us anonymous letters because they're afraid of repercussions. But one of the letters we did receive talked about the fact that you go after unemployed payouts that aren't supposed to be there for folks, and I guess, do you have the Department of Revenue going after overpayments to our folks that supposedly get unemployment insurance they're not supposed to get, or do you still do that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lucavina, the only things we currently send to the Department of Revenue on benefits are fraud overpayments. Only if an individual has been determined to have collected benefits fraudulently do we then ship that to the Department of Revenue for collection, if we are unable to collect it directly ourselves after initial notices. So we do not send regular unemployment insurance benefits, to my knowledge. If Representative Slocum or someone else makes a mistake, we do not do that.
Representative Slocum. All
right. Well, I have a question, Chairman and Commissioner. Why on earth would you launch this new integrated, fully integrated program just prior to the busiest part of your year without running, I'm not done with the question, the parallel program, the older program, because this is supposed to be a safety net for people, and these are people who need that safety net. I don't think it looks real safe to me, and you're in charge, so why would you do that to these people?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Spoke. We launched it, and let me answer those as kind of separate questions. Why didn't we run in parallel? And then why did we launch on the 15th of October? I spent a lot of time asking the question, can we run in parallel? And because this system changed fundamentally where the data went and kind of where it was stored, how the whole system worked, in order to run in parallel, we would have had to have every one, our applicants or others, do everything twice. There wasn't an automated way to run in parallel that made any sense at all.
They're doing it more than twice now, Commissioner.
I couldn't hear it.
They're doing it more than twice.
Some are. And some did early in the system. We think that's getting dramatically better. And I can assure you that the 83,000 people we paid last week, the very, very few, the vast majority, they went through an automated fashion. We would, if we ran in parallel, everyone would have had to do everything twice. And we consulted with a number of our internal information technology people and the consultants people. Is there a practical way? Is there even a moderately impractical way to run in parallel? And they told me there wasn't. So what we did was to increase the amount of testing that we did. And we tested for more than 3 months. We ran 20,000 scenarios over and over and over again. And then made improvements in the system. And we actually did delay 2 weeks beyond what we had originally planned for October 1st. The reason that we needed to implement was because the law required us to. We couldn't meet the requirements of the law for alternative benefits to qualification periods or for weekly payments and a number of other issues without the new system. And if we didn't implement in October, then, which is our lowest season, then it is March or April before we could implement, and we'd be out of compliance with the law for a long time. And I want to assure you, we didn't take lightly the risk that we had. And I'm not happy that people have been so terribly inconvenienced. The vast majority of people are getting paid, and it is going to get better. But it was a challenge. If we had, my choices were, take that risk or not follow the law. Another issue is that the Representative Ortman raised the issue of the obligation of our vendor, VariantPoint. Under the contract, their obligation ends on June 30th, and I wanted to maximize the amount of warranty work that we could get to get this right, because I didn't want the clock ticking at $200 an hour for the computer development people and have us have to pay for that when we had paid for it in the warranty period. So it was the decision was not made lightly, but running parallel, unfortunately, was not one of our options.
Yeah, Commissioner, let's make one thing perfectly clear here. When you're talking about you're obeying the law, you requested the law change. I had big reservations about this. I asked Representative Mahoney, do you know what's in that bill? You implied it was a technical bill with some things that the AFL-CIO put in there, which I questioned the AFL-CIO and my former committee staff person is up there nodding his head, whether this was good. So don't make this out that this is a legislative initiative, because it wasn't, Commissioner. And in fact, let me just say something here, because I'm getting a little worked up. This is more than an inconvenience to people, Commissioner. You make 108 grand a year, and these people, a lot of them, make nothing hardly. And you've heard about bankruptcies, home foreclosures, credit ratings being ruined. It is more than an inconvenience here. Now, in my bill last year, I said I was tired of people waiting on the phone. Because this new system we have, everything's going to be technology. I said at that time, a computer has no empathy for somebody that lost a job. And I asked you, and put it in the bill, this omnibus bill that came out of the economic development part of this committee, to have one live person in every workforce center working on unemployment insurance. And you told us the governor would veto the bill if we kept that in there. And now you've hired 32 people. No, this is more than an inconvenience, Commissioner. This is people losing their homes, having their credit rating destroyed, losing their driver's license because they're not paying child support, which is a stupid lie. Was only one of two people in the legislature to vote against it. The other one was my then housemate, Representative Thomas Sony. Because we said this kind of crap was going to happen. So don't sit here and say this is a legislative initiative or it's an inconvenience, because you're wrong on both accounts. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm settled down from my last little outburst. But so I'll be calm here and try and keep my New Year's resolution.
It's broken already, then.
Well, it's flexible.
I obviously didn't make one. Go ahead.
Excuse me.
Commissioner McElroy, are you over budget on this particular system?
No. Mr. Chairman, Representative, no, we're
that,
not.
That's the simple answer. That's thank you. I wanted to find that out before I went too far. Now, I'm gonna make a comment before, much in the same fashion that the chair did. It seems like, you know, I was actually on the committee when you chaired this particular committee. And, you know, our good friend Mr. Gunther will tell you, it's always a problem with me. I read things and I keep have a memory. And I've got some of your comments from a few years back that I'll repeat. But my question is, you know, you drove this as a way to reduce staff and speed up time, response time. Have you reduced staff at all with this new system?
Mr. Nelson, can you answer that better?
Mr. Nelson can answer it better.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, intent was never to reduce staff. Intent was to move staff from just data enter, paper processing, what we would call direct customer facing, where they would make either be those ones answering the phone or doing the actual adjudication, deciding the question of whether when you quit your job do you fall under one of the 9 exceptions in the law to denial. And that's an individual judgment, obtaining statements from applicants, obtaining statements from employers, and making a written determination which is appealable. We thought we'd be better off building a system so that people could do that kind of work rather than simply processing paper and data entry. That was the purpose, never to reduce the number of staff. We have, in fact, hired some number of staff recently, as the commissioner indicated, 2 weeks ago. And part of that was simply the amount of attrition we've had over about the last 8 months, mostly almost all retirements. We made a tactical decision not to hire staff at that time because then we would have to train them in the old system. The old system was virtually, it would take you a year before you could answer all people's questions. It was that complicated code base. We did not make a decision not to hire staff until this new system implemented. The training took place over the whole summer on this new system. We were simply not capable of adding staff at that time. We tried to add them as quickly as possible and get them on board. But we never were intended to reduce the amount of staff.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
Well, you know, I only went back and looked at 2002 and 2003, but I was pretty sure that this thing was sold as a way to reduce costs with reducing staff. I've sat through many committee hearings with the comment that we should run things government as a business, like a business. I'm not sure that any business would take 7 years to plan a computer changeover with the changeover made this poorly. But I want to take you back, because I remember, Mr. Commissioner, you telling us and kind of taking the mantle upon yourself as someone who knew computers and software development and fairly much championed this. And I remembered a rare outburst, a rare time when you kind of look like I do sometimes. And it was about someone being over budget on a website. And my question will come at the end of this, and I'm going to repeat this. I could take 10 high school kids over a weekend and get you a website. Mr. Commissioner, it seems to me that you might have been better off getting some high school students to do this. Because you certainly have truly uprooted many people's lives at this particular point. I'm hoping that
you know, not having bankruptcies and foreclosures and everything else, I certainly can understand some people's frustrations. And I think you are just god-awful lucky. God-awful lucky that having implemented a system like this over Thanksgiving, Christmas, and people not having any money to buy their kids toys, you're just lucky no one has gotten hurt in this world today. I am just amazed at the incompetence of this one. You know, you are generally a pretty competent person. I'll give you that. But you had to be asleep at the switch on this. You are, you have too much past history in this particular type of business. So, I'm frustrated and disappointed, and I expect, I know the chairman of this committee is expecting swift actions, and we will be holding you to your word, I hope.
Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Well, we're frustrated and concerned also, Representative Mahoney, and we take your comments to heart. Let me back up a little. Mr. Chairman, I made clear that we, the department, did ask for the law that you passed, and we are not passing the buck, so to speak. But once it was the law, we felt an obligation to, we had to follow it. And so we didn't have the, even though we discussed it at great length, the option, we didn't think not passing the new law that was passed at our request was a good idea. And I understand fully that this has been more than an inconvenience for some of our customers. Representative Mahoney, I recall the website that you were talking about, and this system, I even knew that because I had been involved in systems not just complicated, but reservation systems. I knew this was a lot more than a website. I have a new appreciation for how complex it is and for the difficulty in implementing it smoothly. We have had literally hundreds of professionals from Bearing Point and from our own staff working on this, and we are, I wish it had gone smoother than it has. We are very confident it will continue to get better. It has gotten a little better almost every day since there was a major build on December 20th and we got phone lines on December 20th. But once we get behind, that has been a problem. It is getting dramatically better. It will continue to, and we expect to be able to find it.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, you know, all of these testimonies are they're very disturbing, and when you hear things like, I made my first call on November 19th. I finally got my first contact with a real person on November 28th, and I didn't get my first check until January 9th. Those kind of things are extremely, extremely disturbing to me. No notice of appeal hearings. Computers only work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You know, when we hear that kind of stuff, it's very, very disturbing. But this is now the second time I've had a hearing with your department as to the workings of the department, and I'm wondering, when you have results like Illinois, Wisconsin, and Montana have abandoned their upgrade efforts. Indiana and Colorado are in court battles. We have 5 feet of manuals that nobody knows what's in them. And we're not really sure if the thing's going to work, but we're going to implement it anyway. I would think at some point in time you would come up with some alternative plan, like let's try Hennepin County first and see if it works there. Let's contact the chairs of the committee that would be responsible for this bill and say, you know what, the computer system isn't ready to go. Do you think it's okay if we extend this? Can we have a letter from you guys saying something to that effect? I know you once said to me, we tend to follow the law. Well, you know, this is one of those times when you maybe shouldn't have followed the law, and you maybe should have actually asked us if it would be okay to not put this system in place because it's not ready. I'm very, very concerned that this doesn't work, and that this is that's becoming an MO of the department. That we had flood problems. We had a hearing on floods because we couldn't get contracts in place. We have people saying We're afraid to say anything because of possible retaliation that we might experience. I would think that as a commissioner, you would want people who are on the ground working and experiencing the problems to give you as much feedback as possible so that you can figure out how to fix the problem as opposed to being afraid for their jobs if they say something. You know, I mean, at some point in time here, we got to have some assurance that this department is going to be doing some really good things in the very near future, because so far it's been really darn ugly, I'll tell you.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, what I said at the FUD hearing is that we intend to follow the law and do our best to do so. I think the challenge that we had, and Mr. Chairman, if that's what I said, I misspoke. What I intend to say is that we intend to follow the law. We take the law very seriously. This department's asked to do interesting and challenging and difficult things, and coordinating the flood relief was one of far different issues. And we can certainly have a separate discussion on that. The issue you raised that I'd like to address, and one I'm very concerned about, is this anonymous letter that we saw when we arrived here. And I want to assure any DEED employee who wishes to contact me or Deputy Commissioner Moe or any of our leaders that we value their input, and I give them my personal assurance there will not be negative consequences to people coming to me. I've been at DEED a year. Many people have come to us with issues that they were concerned about. I'm surprised at that, and I will make a point to visit with employees. I've visited now, I think, 30-some of the workplace times. I intend to be as visible in the customer service and in the other parts of unemployment insurance as I can. No one has to fear bringing concerns or problems to our attention. But many of the aspects, I think all the other aspects of DEED are running well. We're going to make UI run as well, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. McElroy, you know, I never supported the marriage of the Department of Economic Security or Employment Service, whatever it was called. It's been many different names, and the Department of Economic Development. But, you know, like any good marriage, both partners got to kind of be treated equally, and I think what's happened since the DEED creation is that unemployment insurance has been the, you know, poor part of the divorce, I guess. You know, I knew there were problems, and Mr. Nelson, I had you in my office when I had people up there with this debit card and computer systems and phoning in, and you're in my office listening to my constituent on the speakerphone saying it doesn't happen that way when he's telling you that it happened that way. If you recall that conversation that we had. So I was very nervous about this system coming online, and that's why I wanted live human beings. And I think, you know, Commissioner, you and I have different philosophies about what government can do for people. I still come from an area where people still believe government can do good things. And government isn't bad. I don't know if you have that philosophy, because since Governor Plenty's taken over, it seems that the goal of DEED has been to downsize employees in unemployment insurance division. And, Mr. Nelson, I don't know what the numbers are, but I do know this. There used to be a call center in Duluth and in Virginia and in St. Cloud and in St. Paul, and there aren't call centers anymore in Duluth and Virginia, which handle statewide calls. And that's why I wanted a live human being, because a computer doesn't know what's going on. A computer doesn't know that guy up there from the St. Paul School District isn't a teacher, that he's a seasonal employee. And so we need human beings. And so I want to ask you again today, do you have a problem with us having a live human being in these workforce centers out there? And where did the workforce development people become state employees that they're supposed to answer the phone up in Virginia, Minnesota, and they're supposed to handle all the people, what they say is a 25% increase in the last 2 months? Where did they get a directive, or under what authority did you get to make them do your work? I want a live person that's a state employee working for DEED to handle unemployment insurance. Not Michelle Ulfers or Michelle Bremer or whatever, handling your job. It's not their job to do your job.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we work together with our workforce partners on lots of things. We provide a significant portion of their funding through a variety of sources. We have DEED employees in many, but not all, of the workforce centers. And we are...
You don't have, Mr. Commissioner, that's not true. You don't have one person in the Virginia office that deals with unemployment insurance.
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
You have two people left in the Virginia office. There used to be a huge contingency. You have two employees left, and they go out and ask employers how they can help them.
Yes.
And in fact, I didn't bring this up because my laborer's business agent, Tim McGauley, who isn't here today, had a letter from an employee, from one of his members, where, members, listen to this, where the DEED employee started crying on the phone, the DEED employee, because she said she was told she couldn't help an unemployed, a laborer that got laid off with these problems, they got to call this number. The DEED employee started crying on the phone. Something's wrong with this picture. Human beings should be able to talk to human beings because computers have no emotions. Sometimes I think some other people around here don't have any emotions either. But what I want to know from you today is, to solve this problem, will you put some live human beings back in Virginia and Duluth and wherever else, in Albert Lea, wherever, to handle these problems? Because it's your responsibility to dole out unemployment insurance in this state, not Michelle's responsibility, or not the other Michelle in Virginia. So is the governor still going to veto the bill if I put in a live human being got to be there?
Mr.
Like
Chairman,
you told me he was going to last year.
It will depend on our finding a way to pay for that.
You just hired 32 people.
We hired 32 people to staff customer service in our customer service centers in St. Cloud and St. Paul. We didn't, and we need to do that. Most people want to interact with us. A lot of people want to interact with us over the phone if it's sufficient and if they can get through, and we want to do that. And we would like to discuss with you some options for getting more people in the workforce centers. I can't commit to that today.
Commissioner, most people want to talk to a human being when they've lost their job because it's a traumatic experience.
I understand that.
Even for the seasonal employees, it's not a fun thing to go through.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Representative Haas and Senator Vander Vierenhorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I first heard of this problem, I actually heard of it from staff, and they said, are you getting a lot of calls? And I said, no, I'm not getting any calls. So this took me really by surprise how many people are stuck in this and what a disaster it is that they're stuck in. Then I'm wondering, how big is this? I mean, is it, you know, we come to the table when there's a natural disaster. If there's a flood and there's 1,000 people out of work or whatever it happens to be, or a tornado, we come here. How big a mess is this? Is it 100 people? Is it 1,000 people? Is it 10,000 people that we have stuck in this? And do you have any idea of the number?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Haas, in the delayed of phone calls, it's certainly a lot of people, and I can't tell you exactly. We know that we have issued off-system checks and an emergency check for around 100 people,
right,
and that we've manually processed something over 1,000 files. But the number of people impacted is more than that. We know that we paid 83,000 people in the week of January 7th. And the vast majority of them went through the system as it's intended. And that wait times are coming down some. But we still have progress to be made.
Thank you.
Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, at some point I know we have to upgrade computer systems. We have to improve technology, but unemployment is a particularly sensitive and needed safety net. I know there were problems there, but as near as I can understand, the major ones were inability of people to access the system to apply for benefits, erroneous determination of eligibility or amount of the benefits, that individuals could receive, and wait times were so excessive you couldn't access the system. And those are pretty serious, very serious. How long, do you have an idea what percent of the people who applied were erroneously or paid late?
Mr. Chairman, if I could get some help from Mr. Nelson, he's been involved in that question.
Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Vandiver, I don't know of anyone who was issued a written determination that was incorrect. Somebody got some of the system just issued something wrong. I don't know of no instance of that. I don't know of any instance in which someone was somehow the system created an improper payment to any particular individual. Much of the discussion is if you have an issue which has to be looked at and considered by an individual, and that we may, in fact, the commissioner called it an adjudication, did get backed up a little bit. We've worked that through. We're down to, I think, about 5 days behind, which is less than we were last year at the same time.
Well,
I don't know of any particular ones. As far as the delay, the real problem, as I see it, and quite frankly from the program's perspective, is getting through and the wait times on the phone. And that's when you have to talk to an individual. There have been some busy signals up front once you come into the system, if you choose to talk to an operator or if you're required to. Most people don't have to talk to anyone and go through the automated system without a problem. The real problem has been the wait times and the delays, and that is unfortunate, and the UI program takes that very seriously, and we will do better.
Is Mr. Chair, is there a time certain that you expect this to be corrected? Is it pretty well warranted type of corrections that will make the phone system work at some anticipated level? Or is this just hit and miss? Could be a year, could be a month?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Vandiver, the seasonality begins to improve relatively quickly in February and March. We're hoping that with the new people on customer service and with the improvements in the programs, we're already seeing some improvement. But as we get out of the busiest season, the challenges we hope will be behind us. But it is, we're working as much overtime as we can manage, and pushing the next system improvements as fast as we can. I'm not going to give you a date, but I am going to say that we think it's getting down to hold times that are, I'm not sure we can get to 5 minutes, but we have set some goals in the 10 to 12 minute range, and we're trying hard to get there, we will see that in the spring, but I'm not going to give you a date then.
Mr. Chair, one more.
Go ahead.
Minor question, thank you. Commissioner, I don't think it's your job to dole out unemployment. I think what we'd like the department to do, from my perspective, is to pay unemployment benefits to eligible individuals in the amount provided by law. And then with that, too, at the hearing that we were talking about with regard to the flood, pretty much what I heard was pretty positive comments from the mayors and the people of the affected area as far as the department went. There were, we wish federal law maybe had been different or something, but I didn't hear a lot of those negatives, that other than even surprised members of the Senate saying, you mean you're happy with this? And the mayors were saying yes. And so I didn't hear all the negatives, I think, overall from that meeting. So I trust that in the next few months or whatever, that this will be improved. And if it isn't, then obviously it's going to be more than Representative Rukavina and Senator Tomasoni that are upset.
I'll be upset. Going back to Mr. Chairman, I'd rather
just
agree.
Call us Guido and Tommy.
Just say one Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, there's just one.
All right.
I thought you were stuttering up. Go ahead.
But I'd rather agree with Representative Rukavina. We want to give good service. And I'm not, I think it's possible to do that in a phone center more than Representative Rukavina does. But I'm willing to work on ways in high-volume workforce centers to try and improve the level of service. And I don't consider, quote, doling out to be a negative. It is paying the benefits that are owed
but also trying to help people and trying to answer their questions. And we'll work hard to achieve that goal.
Mr. Chairman,
let me just ask one quick question here.
Senator Thompson, follow up,
yeah, because it's kind of on Senator Vanderveer's question. In my understanding of these computer systems and phone lines and stuff, why doesn't the phone say, leave your name and number and we'll get back to you in the order we received the call, instead of letting these people wait for 2.5 hours?
Would that be, Mr. Chairman, would that be satisfactory service to you if the system did that?
I would rather have somebody call me back than sit on the phone for two and a half hours. I don't want that to happen. I'd rather they say, hello, how you doing, give me my benefits, thank you, goodbye. But
if one of the options were, you know, hold times are long, press 6 if you're willing to leave your name and number and we'll have somebody get back to you as soon as possible.
I would think that would be a partial solution.
I think it would be better than waiting 2 hours on the phone.
I mean, the obvious question is, do you call them back?
Well, I'm concerned about our ability to call them back. I'd like to talk to our people. We had not felt that was a very good level of service, and I don't believe that we've discussed that. Let us investigate that possibility.
Mr. Chairman, I've been on phone calls where I've been talking to a computer, and the computer said your estimated wait time will be 2.5 minutes, or your estimated wait time will be 15 minutes.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I think you should be able to have a computer, I mean, you should be able to do that in this system, that your estimated wait time is 2.5 hours. Would you please leave your name and number? We'll get back to you.
No, I mean, Mr. Chairman, the system has the capacity to say your estimated wait time is. The mechanism that calculates it over the last several weeks' wait times, and those have been, as wait times are getting better, we haven't wanted to turn on that feature. We're hoping to be able to use that feature as wait times get shorter. So that right now, if we were to turn that feature on, it would say your estimated wait time is 1.5 hours, and they're getting better. But we will explore the possibility of having the feature that you describe of giving people the option of leaving their name and number.
But
I only want to do that if we're able to call them back.
Representative Hartman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a quick point and then a question. The point is to follow up on what the Chair has said about having a person there. In Anoka County, we have a human services department or center where people come in, apply for unemployment. The reason why we have the center is there's the food shelf there, there's help with transportation, there's the job search component. And so I think the idea that a computer or a telephone is more efficient takes the applicants out of the workforce center where they can look for jobs and get help with all sorts of other things, clothing, food, transportation. So that's another reason. If you're going to put people in offices, please put somebody in the Anoka County Human Services building. But to follow up on you made a point, you said that you would give your personal assurance that if anybody complained to you that they were unhappy with your work, that there'd be no negative consequences. A lot of the letters that we got were really, I think, more concerned that they might have negative repercussions from Mr. Nelson. And so I was wondering if you could assure this committee that anybody who works at DEED that communicates with a legislator about how this system is working or with Mr. Nelson would also not have negative repercussions to their job, because people need to feel like they can tell us what the problems are so that we can fix them.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Portman, absolutely. We want people to tell us what's on their mind, and we will assure you and them that they will not have negative repercussions.
Thank you.
We would hope people will tell you things that are accurate, even if we don't agree. We will work it out. We have great employees. I'm disappointed that they feel this way. I think that's probably culture for me before my time. They will not suffer for telling us what's on their mind or telling you.
Thanks.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chairman, and to Representative Hartman, just so you know, my colleague across the table here, Representative Clark, last year had a bill, and I have really, I've seen Karen work very hard. Rarely have I seen her work as hard on a bill as she did on that one. only to get past the barest of minimums after a corner office, not in this building, said it would not pass. It would not get signed into law unless it was gutted. So, Commissioner McElroy, you know, your word to me would be fine, but I don't know that after seeing the behavior on that bill last year, on the whistleblower bill, that if I was an employee of the state, I would have a whole lot of faith. That bill was pretty clear, pretty plain. It had some remedies, some penalties, and all of that was pretty much gutted, if I remember it correctly, right. And I don't have it in front of me.
We have Mr. Monroe, who represents most of the workers in the UI division, coming up last, so we'll see what he has to say. But Representative Gunter.
Mr. Chair, if I could,
Mahoney.
One quick thing here, and I know it's on a different particular subject, but in your seed program, Mr. Commissioner, I'm just wondering, in light of the conversations about computers today, you might want to increase the web-based system that you have for the whole state, that you've got a $200,000 thing appropriation, and the labor market information that you think you should be able to do statewide for $150,000. No answers needed. I just would, hopefully you'll reconsider that before February 12th.
Mr. Chair, in follow-up to Representative Mahoney's point on the Whistleblower Act, that bill is coming back because we need to talk to people at MnDOT about what happened with that bridge, and they're afraid to talk to us. So we'll be seeing that bill again.
Representative Gunn.
I get my question.
Senator Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just got a couple quick comments, and I think I'm a little entitled because I have myself run into the dreaded phone system at the D that everyone's talking about. From the opposite direction, I had as an employer, working for my family's business, so we had a question about one of the employees. It was a strange situation, and I needed to speak to a body. And I called and called, and I couldn't get through because it's a very long story, but actually I spent an entire day trying to get through, and finally gave up. I tried to find other numbers, and I couldn't get through. So about 3 or 4 days later, a constituent of mine emailed me, and he talked, too, about the phone problem, the long wait. He spent the entire day waiting on hold, trying to get through, and I immediately phoned him. I got that at night, and I called him the next morning about 8:30, and he had then gotten through. He'd said it at 6 a.m. again, and he had managed to get through, but he and I were, frankly, we had the wrong conversation talking about the deep phone system. So I'm fully aware of what's been going on there. I am also, every 3 years, our accounting system at work requires an upgrade. I think it's a conspiracy, frankly, but they don't give you your tax tables unless you upgrade every 3 years, and then you have to buy their whole new program. And the boss always promises fantastic, fantastic results, and I dread the upgrade every year because no matter how much work I put into it, no matter how aware I am of it, there are glitches. And inevitably, I'm upgrading in January, which is the worst time for a company. It's tax season, and employee W-2s have to go out, and it's always a scramble. I dread the upgrade, so I am sensitive also to that. Having said that, you know, the number one priority for us when upgrading that system is that the payroll checks go out on time. And I think that's really what I'm hearing today is a big frustration because, you know, we're talking about people's livelihoods, we're talking about people's lives, their credit reports, and so, you know, there's just a big apology to do to folks, and we have to get the system right, and I'm glad to hear that you're working on that. I hope to hear more of this, and I hope the system is resolved and resolved quickly. So thank you for your time, and thanks everyone for your time.
Senator Cook, you know, you paid for that system, as you heard. $25 million was assessed on you, and you're still paying the assessment, from what I understand. And so you should demand. Mr. Nelson shaking his head no, but
the assessment concluded.
Mr. Chair, I will say the wage detail reporting that is done online is excellent. I dreaded it. I didn't want to do it, but now that I do it online, it is a better way to go. It's a quicker way to go.
And Commissioner, we're going to keep working on this, Mr. Nelson, because these people, you have an obligation. You are the Department of Employment and Economic Development. You have an obligation to get those UI checks out in a timely manner, and it's not happening now. And I still say a live human being is needed at all of these places, as I've been saying for a long time. With that, Mr. Monroe, why don't you come down? Thank you both for being here. Mr. Monroe, and tell us, since, and you've heard, Mr. Monroe, on your way here that no one's faulting your members and me. Nobody. And maybe you might just want to wrap things up and tell us how you feel about it and your members feel about what's going on, and anything else and other suggestions you may have for us. Quickly.
Thank you, and I just looked at the clock and I agree with you very quickly. My name is Jim Monroe. I'm Executive Director of MAPE. We represent the adjudicators that were alluded to, the unemployment insurance folks, the people that handle the foam work. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here testifying for exactly two reasons. One is our people who have been working 10-hour days. We hear about optional overtime. They're working the overtime voluntarily to get checks paid. The system has not allowed them to pay it. There's been problem after problem. You've heard about two-hour wait. And I would ask everyone around this table or anybody you want to talk to or anybody in the room, what's it like picking up that phone and say, I'm from unemployment, how can I help you? After you've been sitting on the phone for 40 minutes. After you've heard the horror stories you heard earlier today. This is an abomination. The way DEED is treating the working men and women in this state and our membership. To have the commissioner sit here, I can't tell you how incredulous I was. Our own members who have worked years in the Department of Economic Security and now DEED, because, I'm not saying Commissioner McElroy, because an ingrained corporate culture on the part of management will not come forward and give their names. This is not unique, what you ran into with people saying, please don't say who I am. There is a fear factor in this agency that I have not seen in another agency or Minsky. And since I've been here 8 years representing people, this has been an agency that is run by fear. People do their work. Our people's sole job is to get people's unemployment benefits paid, and they can't do it. They can't get the job done. Our adjudicators have been pulled off to handle phone calls. We had a grievance filed 10 days ago from a woman whose voice is going, and they had a doctor's statement and said, I need some time off. I need a compliance issue so I can get away from the phones. And her supervisor said, no. We have people that I've been at meetings at, and I talked to Commissioner McElroy about this on the 21st of December, who have been at meetings and come up to me, male and female, in tears after work because they can't get the job done. I cannot sit here and talk to you and say that computers are the salvation. Maybe I'm too much of a Luddite in this day and age to deal with computers. Computers are the salvation. Maybe I'm too much of a Luddite in this day and age to deal with computers. But I have to agree with the chairs of this committee. There needs to be a focus on people. There needs to be a focus on people who can get the job done. I want to commend Commissioner McElroy. Because he did, he and I talked about a call he got at home because his number's public. And he got a check issued very quickly. It was pushing Christmas time, so I imagine the person was not extremely happy when they got hold of him. We hear about 100 plus checks or 200, I don't care whether it's 500, that are issued manually. And I have to say, those checks got issued manually because those people got to the commissioner, got to one of the members of this committee, got to the governor's office, got to the attorney general's office, and they got issued. What about everybody else in this state who's trying to get their benefits paid and are not getting them paid? And I have to plead with you as a committee to say we're going to fix this. It's past the stage of we're going to fix it. I want to quote something because we had a misstatement made in the previous testimony. I'm going to quote directly from the bid proposal that went out on this great computer system. Target, and this is about four pages back into the proposal, reduce manual processing to achieve a 30% reduction in staff. Not manual steps. not time. And to say that this was not driven to reduce the employee count is a misstatement. It's an absolute falsehood. The drive was. Now, the commissioner and I did discuss computer skills need to be brought up. But yet, while this was going on, we had forced retirements last year in the computer staff. They had an option to retire or know that they were going to be terminated. My position would have been they should have trained those folks. People, because they have a set of skills, are not incapable of being trained. I really want the agency to know that we appreciate the addition of the 32 people. It's not enough. When we have people who are working those number of hours, who are volunteering for their time on Sundays to get the job done, and it's not to make the commissioner feel good, it's not to make people within UI and the management staff feel good, it is to get people their unemployment benefits. That's the sole reason they're working. 11 out of the past 12 Sundays, we've had the same people working Sundays. Now stop and remember what that included. Not just the Sundays. It was the Sunday before Christmas. It was the Sunday before New Year's. Two Sundays in a row that people came in and worked to get back caught up on this backlog, and they still aren't caught up. In the interest of time, and I've given several of these points to the chair, I have a real concern when we talk about how many claims are being issued. When the agency's own data showed us, and the best I could get was November to November comparisons. In November of 06, the agency had 10,983 claim weeks, that's not individual, claim weeks that were being held. In November of 07, per the agency's own information, it was 22,350 weeks. 22,000. Right going into Thanksgiving and the Christmas and the first of the year. Now, I almost heard Annie's song in my head when we're talking about how things are going to get better. Folks, we need to look at the fact that the economy in this state is not improving. Minnesota is not leading the nation on recovery ahead of the downturn. You saw the department's own numbers, and you saw the national numbers of where this state ranks in economic recovery. It's not a cyclical January, February, early March, and everything's hunky-dory. Jobs are being lost in this state. And there is no excuse to rely on a computer system. And I appreciate Commissioner McElroy's statements on this, that he's not trying to shift the blame to the people. But I will tell you, there's something wrong with the communications channel with Indeed when top management tells us we aren't blaming the people. We appreciate the work they're doing. And if somebody's 1 minute late coming back from lunch, their supervisor's right at their desk saying, "Where were you?" To my way of thinking, when they're going through, these people are going through that service delivery to the men and women who are trying to get their benefits paid, the benefits they're entitled to, it's not a goal. They're entitled to those benefits. There should be nothing more important for this administration to ensure that people are paid. And when you pull people off, everybody that gets pulled off has another job they're doing. That job is going to have to be picked up at some point in the future. We need to look at how we get the benefits for the people in this state paid when they're due, how our people, the people who ensure that those checks are issued, do not have to work 10 hours a day plus every other Sunday or every Sunday, because they're short now, folks. And I would urge anybody on this committee to stop and think how you would like to be on the receiving end of a phone when you're trying to help somebody get a project done or get anything done. And they've been waiting even 40 minutes to talk to you. I agree with Senator Thomasoni. I don't think they can put a system in place. If I was Commissioner McElroy and the wait time was 45 minutes, and the system came on and said, if the wait time at this point in time is 45 minutes, if you want to leave your number, leave your number and we'll get back to you. I'm not sure I'd be willing to pull that switch myself. I'm urging this committee to look at ensuring there is enough personnel to get the work done. We can't go back and undo making a system work that was focused on cutting staff, on cutting the people that do the work, to automate the system. Because you've already hired people. We've already brought people on. They hit the ground running, hopefully, today. We represent those people. And I got to say, there's only one focus that this committee and the agency need to do, and that's ensure that checks are paid on a timely basis. That's the only focus. We also represent the revenue department, and I think it's important because you also heard another statement that the collection process was deferred to revenue. The fact of life is there's no ability of revenue. We represent those folks to ensure they're able to comply on a timely basis to do the collection on people who don't pay. And unfortunately, employers aren't always honest. They don't always do their premiums. They don't always do their payments. The investigation staff, which we used to represent, has now been reallocated out. Commerce is going to be picking up part of the criminal work. Revenue is supposed to do the collection work. And guess what, folks? Nobody's really talking. We need to make sure our people are paid. And I am upset about it. I've listened to our members since October. I want to go back to the training because I talked to some people last week. When the training was done pre-October 16th, when somebody turned the miraculous switch, the system wasn't working. It was all hypothetical. Our people were being trained on a new system coming online, and the instructors were telling them that they could not show them what was going to be coming up. There was no reason to have made that switch. We all learned from that. It's done. But we have to get people paid. Our people are, and I'm going to make this commitment to the commission, and to this committee. Our people are willing to do what it takes to get the payments made, to get people their deposits made. There should be no excuse for somebody being told by their landlord they're about to go out of their apartment or to lose a house or to make a choice on feeding their family. That's wrong. 5 to 7 weeks is inexcusable. And I've heard time and again, it ain't that different. That's not true. It is that different for people. And please do not ever use the term inconvenience when dealing with people who are not getting their payments made. That is not an inconvenience. It's salvation of their livelihood. That's what the system is for. We're willing to work with this committee. I'm going to reiterate what I told Commissioner McElroy on the 21st. We're willing to work with the department. But please, as a committee, we've held this hearing. Don't wait until spring to see how it's going, because it's not going to get better.
Mr. Monroe, let me tell you this, and let me tell the members of this committee this in working with the Senate. You know, there's another unemployment insurance bill I think that the department needs. And I think we have a governor that's confused that still thinks at times he's the majority leader. And we write laws. And I'm going to get input from you, Mr. Monroe, because your members are the ones in the trenches. They should have probably had a lot more input than they did into this new system. But I'm still going to work, Mr. McElroy, towards that live human being. And, you know, last year we should have taken a closer look, perhaps, at that unemployment insurance bill. I didn't like it. I was leery of it. I was assured by my friends in labor that they were okay with it, but this year when we work on it, there's going to be some compromise because, you know, we got elected to take over the back the House. The DFL and both the Senate and the House had a huge mandate. The governor didn't have a mandate at all. He didn't get a majority of the vote. So we're going to have an equal say on what we do here. We write laws, and we're going to work together and not be dictated to, again, this session about you can't put this in or put that in, because the bill's going to get vetoed, because as far as I'm concerned, then good. Veto the bill. Because I'm done compromising my ideals away. The purpose for unemployment insurance is to pay people who deserve unemployment insurance, not to set up a computer system that does this or does that or saves time or saves employees in your division. So that's my pledge to the people left in this audience, and to you too, Mr. Monroe and Commissioner. I hope you can work with both Mr. Monroe and us this session. Any questions of Mr. Monroe? If not, members, thank you for all for coming, and this hearing is adjourned.